as we are confronted with hundreds of choices every day, the following series of biblically based questions we should ask ourselves. So, as I'm confronted with choices in my life, the soft choices and the hard choices, especially the hard choices, but I need to ask myself, first of all, will this affect my relationship with God? Will this choice that I'm making affect my relationship with God? Will God be displeased with this choice that I'm about to make? Or will God say, yeah, that choice is leading to life and blessing?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Are You Living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal?
Below his flight, he decided to make an obscene gesture at her. The woman's husband appeared with a rifle and blasted him out of the sky. Bad choice. Bad choice. The girl who told Bill Gates it's either the computer or me. Bad choice. Bad choice. Can going with Geico save you money? Is Abraham Lincoln honest, honey? Do I look fat in this dress? No, I'm not commenting on that. The man that would comment on that, bad choice. Bad choice. So we can make some bad choices. And we need to see that everyone here has the power of choice. That in your life, you have the ability. Man, God has gifted us. And you know, we might say, well, there's a lot of things that I don't have. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I wish I had this. But you know one thing that you do have? You have been gifted by God with the power of choice. And the choice that you make can lead to blessings in life, or the choice that you make can lead to a curse and death. Adam and Eve, perfect example. God said of every tree in the garden, you can eat, except one. All these trees that are here, apple, pear, banana, pineapple, whatever, all you can eat from all of them, except one. And they made a choice that not only affected them, but they made a choice that affected all the rest of us. They made a choice that led, first of all, to a curse. Because God cursed the ground. God said that you will work the ground by the sweat of your brow. Their decision led to a curse. And then their decision led to death. It led to death with their relationship with God. Now, instead of them coming to God openly and freely, they had to get fig leaves and hide themselves. And God said, well, that's not going to work. And so he gave them animal skins. We see that it not only led to death, to a relationship with God, but God told them, in the day that you eat of the tree, you will surely die. Now, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they didn't drop over and die. But you know what happened? Death began to enter into their body. And now Adam's once fresh skin would begin to crack and wrinkle. His once full head of hair would either begin to turn white or turn loose. And so we see that the curse came on him, and not only did it bring a curse, but it also brought death. And I'm here to tell you that the choices that you make, every choice that you make that is a significant one, will lead down a path to life and blessings, or lead to a path of cursing and death. When you think about it, there are hundreds of choices that we make every day. I mean, just think. You could pull up to one of the fast food places, and you just can't say, I want some chicken. Because what are they going to say? You want fried or rotisserie? Well, give me fried. You want two-piece or three-piece? Well, give me two-piece. Do you want a dinner or chicken only? Well, give me chicken only. Do you want white meat or dark meat? See, you can't even go. Just order some chicken. You got all these choices that you have. And then when you get finished, they say, well, what do you want for your sides? And then you got nine choices for your sides. And then when you get finished with all that, some places will ask you, do you want to supersize it? Just think, just stopping to get something to eat. You have been faced with one, two, three, four, five. And if you take the sides, the 9, 14, 15 choices just in stopping to get something to eat. And so all day long, we are making choices. And our choices determine how our day is going to go. If we made some poor choices, we may end up at the end of the day feeling bad, guilty, because we did something that we shouldn't have done, or we didn't do something that we were supposed to do. And so our choices affect our day. But the bigger reality is that our choices affect our lives. And where you are today, and young people, please hear me. If you just tune in for 1 second, just come on in for this 1 second, and then you can zone back out if that's what you do. Where you are today is a result of the choices that you made along your life. As an adult, as I stand here today, I am here as a result of choices in my life that I have made. And you know, sometimes I would like to, and I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to find a picture of me, and that's why I'm speaking to the young people. I'm going to find a picture of myself when I was about 24, 25 years old. And I'm going to take that picture and I'm going to say, you know what, Bill? Thank you. I want to thank you that you are wise enough to make some choices that honored and pleased the Lord. I want to thank you for allowing God to work in your life and lead you to make choices that have gotten you to where you are today. Now, there might be another picture I pull out and I say, look, Bill, that wasn't too smart of a choice there. That one wasn't too wise. But I can look back at my life and I can clearly say that as a young man, that there were some choices that I made that affected my life. I made the choice when all my other friends didn't go or went and stopped going. I made the choice through the power and the foreknowledge of God to continue to go to college. I made the choice that after I graduated from college, that I would leave Durango, Colorado, and drive across the country to Lynchburg, Virginia. And as I said before, I had to do a study on that word Lynch before I went to the Berg and found out that it was actually named after a man named John Lynch, to get my master's degree. And then as I was recruiting on the road during football and recruiting season, I made the choice that I was going to continue my education and get my doctorate degree. And all those choices brought me to the place where I am today. And as you sit there today, as an adult, or as you sit there today as a young person, your choices will be what leads you to where you are going or where you are right now. And some of us can look back and we can see choices that we made and we can regret, absolutely regret the choices that we made. And there are other choices that we made that we can rejoice in. But we have this incredible power to choose. Moses said, I stand in record before you today that I have set before you Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. That I have set before you blessing and cursing. That I have set before you life and death. And with everything that's in Moses, he said, choose life. Are you choosing life today? See, there are two types of choices that we can make. There are soft choices, and then there are the hard choices. The soft choices are the little decisions that we have to make all along the way every day. Soft choices. And if we are making the wrong soft choices, when it comes time to make the hard choices, the chances are that we have conditioned ourselves for so long in not disciplining ourselves to make the right soft choices that we end up, when it comes to making the hard choices, the life decision choices, we end up making the wrong choices. The power. I wish I could just stay here for the rest of the sermon. The power of choice. And it's in your hand. Some things are beyond the realm of our control. Granted, I will give you that. But 90% of the things in our lives, we make the choice as to what we're going to do. And so we see the power of choice. The second thing that we see is what I call the basis for choice. What is the basis for choice? When we're making decisions and we're trying to choose, what should be the basis of helping us to choose? And Moses makes no bones about it. It's very clear in the word that the basis for choice, and see, this is why I think, man, people ought to be in the word. You ought to be in the word on a daily basis. You ought to be coming to a Bible study somewhere. You ought to be getting this word in you, because the word of God is the foundation for the basis of every choice that we make. In Deuteronomy 11:26, again, let's go back there. Deuteronomy 11, in verse 26, Moses says here, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way." What did Moses say was the foundation for choices? The word of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, when the people stand on Mount Gerizim and they give the blessing, and they stand on Mount Ebal and they give the cursing, look what he says in verse 4. He says, "Therefore it shall be when you are gone over the Jordan that you shall set up stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron against them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of the whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings there unto the Lord, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this very law." When they stood on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, they had the word of God written upon stones. And when they shouted out the amen, when the priest said, "Okay, everybody on Ebal, say amen," they shouted amen. And then the priest said, "Everybody on Gerizim, say amen," and they said amen. What was the focus of their shouting? It was the word. And if we are going to make the right choices, we have to be in the word of God. Look at the notes, if you would, and I just want to read something. It's about halfway through under the basis for choice. About halfway through, as we are confronted with hundreds of choices every day, the following series of biblically based questions we should ask ourselves. So, as I'm confronted with choices in my life, the soft choices and the hard choices, especially the hard choices, but I need to ask myself, first of all, will this affect my relationship with God? Will this choice that I'm making affect my relationship with God? Will God be displeased with this choice that I'm about to make? Or will God say, yeah, that choice is leading to life and blessings? Next, will this choice cause me to become enslaved? 1 Corinthians 6:13. Will the choice that I'm making, will it cause me to be addicted? Will the choice that I'm making, will it cause me to be enslaved to something? Will the choice that I'm making cause me to something to grab a hold of me that will I'll have a hard time shaking and I'll have a hard time letting go? Will this choice cause me to become enslaved? Is this choice a bad example to other people? If somebody was to see me do this, would it be a bad example to them? 1 Corinthians 8. Will this choice glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. That this decision that I'm getting ready to make, that this thing that I'm getting ready to do, that these words that I'm getting ready to say, that this computer mouse that I'm getting ready to click, that this place that I'm getting ready to go, will it glorify God? Will it glorify God? Will it hinder the gospel? If somebody was to see this choice, would it discourage them from coming to Christ? Would I be a bad witness and a bad testimony? Paul said that you are my letter. Would you be a bad letter with the choice that you are getting ready to make? Is this a wise use of my time? Paul said, redeeming the time. This choice that you are making, are you using your time wisely? Are you gonna be involved in something that's a bad choice, that's gonna suck up your time, time that you could have been, if you'd have made a choice that led to the way of blessing, that you would end up with more life, more spiritual life? Is this choice gonna be a waste of your time? And then finally, it goes back to that old question, what would Jesus do? JD, right? Is this something that Jesus would do? I know we take that kind of lightly sometimes. I see people in the world mocking it all the time on secular television and in the world. They mock that. What would Jesus do? And they mock it. But for us as Christians, that's something that we should seriously consider. What would Jesus do? And as we ask these questions, see, these questions are rooted in the Word of God. And as I ask these questions, these should be the things that I ask myself to help me make decisions that will guide my life on a daily basis. See, the problem is, if we are not using the Word of God to help us make decisions in the soft choices, then we're going to have a very difficult time integrating the Word of God in our life when it comes time to make the hard choices. I heard a professor that stood before his class one day, and he had a jar, and he took these 2-inch rocks, and he put the rocks in the jar, and he shook them around and put some more and filled the jar up with rocks. And he asked the students, he said, "Students, is the jar filled with rocks?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I get any more rocks in there?" They said, "No." So he took some pebbles, and he took the pebbles and he poured them into the jar, and he shook it, and he got some pebbles down into the jar. And he said to the students, can I get any more pebbles in this jar? And they said, "No, you can't. It's filled up. You can't get any more." And so then he took some sand, and he poured sand down in the jar. And he was able to get, you know, a good amount of sand down in there. He shook it. And then he began to reflect. And he said, "Students, what is the lesson that I'm trying to teach?" He said that the rocks are the important things in your life. And that you should choose and make decisions to do the rock things, the things that are important, the things that are meaningful for you. You ought to make a decision to choose those things first and foremost every day. He says, secondly, are the pebbles. And these are things in your life that they matter, but they're not as important as the rocks. And then he said, the sand is everything else. It's the small stuff. It's the stuff that kind of just grates at us and eats away at us. And as you think about that, if you make the choice to fill your life with sand, unimportant things, then there's no room for the rocks. If you choose to fill your life with the pebbles, then there's no room for the important things. You make that choice. You make the choice. He said the rocks are important things in your life, your health, your family, your time with God. Those are the important things in life. Are you making choices? Are you making healthy choices? Filling your life with the important things first. We see the basis for the choice. And then finally, I conclude with the results of the choice. The results of the choice. That you can either stand, as I said, on Mount Gerizim, the place of blessings and life, or you can stand on Mount Ebal, the place of cursing and death. The choices that we make ultimately lead us to one of these two mountains. Even though God is in control of our life, and God tells us when we are going to leave this earth, that's up to God. And I don't question that at all. But I believe that some people have left this life prematurely because they have made wrong choices. They have made immoral choices that have caused them to lose their life. They have made stupid choices that have caused them to lose their life. They have made poor decisions as far as their health that has caused them to lose their life. And we need to understand that we have this power to choose good health. We have this power to choose to be a moral person. We have this power to choose to do the right things. And if we choose to do the right things, we will end up in the place of life and blessing. As a matter of fact, God said in Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll turn there, he said in Proverbs chapter 3 that if you will make wise choices, Proverbs chapter 3, that if you will make wise choices, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For if you do this, length of days and long life and peace shall be added to thee. What's one way that you can be assured, barring any unforeseen circumstances, of living a long life? Is follow the commandments of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that that's a foolproof, because we don't understand, you know, why God does what he does. You know, we accept what he does, but we don't understand fully. But we know that if I'm trying to please the Lord, that I have the promise in his word, that barring any unforeseen circumstances, that I will live a long life. And then we make the choice from a spiritual standpoint. We make the choice whether or not we want to live a spiritual life. That God has called us into this relationship with him, and that if we will follow after him and seek him, that we will be in this spiritual relationship and we will have life and we will have blessings. The choice is yours. Where are you going to stand at today? Are you going to stand in Mount Ebal, or are you going to stand on Mount Ebal? Father, we thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Have a Warm Heart in a Cold World. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, are you living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, are you living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, are you living on Mount Gerizim or Mount Ebal? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books for more more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.